morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity this morning. My name is Lenora Rousseau. I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity, and I'm thrilled that you've chosen to be with us this morning. If you worship with us on a regular basis, it's always wonderful to share this time with you. And if you're new today or you're newer to our community, we're especially glad that you are here. We're in a message series right now about being a good neighbor and learning the art of neighboring. And so if you are new among us, I hope we are going to do a really good job of welcoming you this morning. In a little bit, just a few more minutes, I'm going to invite you all to greet one another. And so, if there is anyone around you, you don't know their name, please introduce yourself. This is a great opportunity to live into what we are talking about over the next couple of weeks. In your bulletin, you found a connect card. This is one of our ways to connect with you. We want to know that you were here. We want to know your name, and to be able to reach out to you and answer any questions you might have or keep you connected with what's going on. If you will take this out of your bulletin and put your name and email address on it, that would be wonderful. If you're willing to give us more information, we would love that too. Welcome to our online viewers. You have a Connect card available to you as well, so we would love to hear from you. For those of you who are here with us today, you'll be able to put this in the offering plate or hand it to an usher later when we do our offering time. As we seek to be a good neighbor within Gainesville, our mission box for this week is the Honor Center, and they provide transitional housing for veterans here in the Gainesville area who are moving out of homelessness into being home secure. So we invite you to pray about giving generously to that mission and being involved with their ministry, and you can do that at any of the four or five wooden boxes that we have along the back. That's for our mission box. So, we hope that everyone comes to feel as though this is a home for them. And so with that in mind, I say to you this morning, welcome home. All right, now go and greet one another and introduce yourself. Get to know each other's names.
Good morning. We're so glad you're here. Join us in singing the song of invitation. Come out of sadness.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your
Oh,
sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. Oh, for a broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, oh, you're not too far. So lay down your hands, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are.
Grace and love are never ending. We enter into your presence through the wide gates of your mercy. You know no stranger, and you welcome us as we are, as you invite us to become the people you created us to be, and then extend the same invitation to others. So having known your goodness this morning, may we leave from here ready to be a friend to all those in need. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Will you join me in affirming our faith with the words that you see before you on the screen? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church. Celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. we are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
Welcome from Hero Headquarters. Stepping Stone's theme this year is Find the Hero in You. We will be emphasizing hero attributes, community helper heroes, and Bible heroes. But our main goal is to make sure that every child knows Jesus is their hero. Jesus was the original superhero. He's the greatest hero that ever lived. He grew up and became Savior of the world. Doesn't get much better than that. So as teachers, our power source comes from the Lord, and we plan to use our talents and our gifts to change the ordinary day-to-day lives into extraordinary and fun and memorable and exciting. And we're really not worried about how that's going to happen, because our Bible verse this year is from Joshua 1, verse 9, that says, "Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We'll get it done. So ladies and gentlemen, meet your heroes and mine.
What an awesome crew of superheroes we have up here. I got to spend a few minutes with them this past Monday as they were just kicking off the new year. And one of the things that I loved hearing, and Jan had asked them to share, was their particular superhero power that each of them brought to this school year. And to hear them embrace the ways in which God has gifted each of them to make a difference in the lives of children was really, really special. And I'm looking forward to all that children here through Stepping Stones Preschool as a part of Trinity's ministry will learn, and the ways they will grow because of the impact that you all will have on their lives. So thank you for your dedication and commitment. And so we wanted to take a moment in worship today for you to be able to see these teachers and also to pray for them. And not just to pray for them right now in this particular moment, but to be praying for them over the course of this school year and the impact that they will have in the lives of these children. And while we do that, you know, last week we prayed for children going back to school, but teachers go back to school too, not just here at Stepping Stones, but around our community. And I'm wondering if we have other people out there who are teachers in the community. And if you are, would you stand right now too, because we would love to pray for you as well. Who do we have out there that are teachers? I know we have, yes, quite a few. Quite a few. Look at that. So will you join me now? And I'm going to give you a moment of silence just to pray on your own, and then I'll offer a blessing on all of our behalf for these teachers. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, indeed we are grateful for all teachers, for the ones who we each can remember that had meaningful impact on our lives, for the ones who offer themselves day after day, sacrificially and generously and wholeheartedly, for the sake of molding the lives of children, empowering them to think and to learn and to grow and to discover for themselves. Pray for all the teachers in our community, all the teachers who are connected here with us through Trinity, and especially today we ask your blessing on Stepping Stones right here, that here on this campus, through the efforts and the energy and the love that these teachers offer, children will surely come to know and love you. Be with all of us, and especially them, in the days ahead, on those days when they doubt, bring someone alongside to give them hope and reassurance. On those days when they are tired, renew their energy so that they would rise up pray this all in the name of the one who calls us to live in faithfulness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, teachers, and look forward to the year ahead. As well as learning and teaching going on in our Stepping Stones classrooms, there will be lots of learning and growing going on in classrooms around this campus for all ages. This week is when we ramp back up again with a new season of classes and Bible studies being offered for adults. There is some information in your bulletin about that today. It is a great way for you to dive deeper in your faith. And there's one particular course that over the last 25 years or so since it was first introduced has had transformational impact in the lives of a number of adults. And we thought it would be best for you to hear just a little bit firsthand from somebody who just took this course this past year. It's Disciple Bible Study. And so I invite you to turn your attention to the screens now to pay attention to a short video.
My first experience with Disciple was when I was really little at my home church. My grandma taught classes, and my mom was taking them with a different teacher, and I remember as a little kid going and sitting outside the classroom and playing with my sister, and when they had snack time, that was our favorite time, and just seeing my mom's dedication to finishing all of them made me want to start them once we came to Trinity. We took Disciple 1 last year when we first came to Trinity. It was actually the first Sunday that we visited Trinity. We decided to sign up for Disciple just because it felt right, like it felt like what we should do.
So I would recommend this class to others for sure. It's definitely a great way to kind of grow your knowledge base of the Bible, and it's a good way to get involved in the church and meet new people that you may not have seen before, and kind of get to know different faces and really kind of grow with God in a way, and it really helped me stay accountable in reading the Bible. That's something I've always wanted to try to do more of, but having that weekly class where you see people and they expect you to read and you expect them to read and you have good discussion really helped me kind of stay accountable in my Bible reading.
I think it grew our relationship as married couples, because before taking Disciple 1, we hadn't taken a formal Bible study together. We've been to church together plenty of times, but we hadn't taken a formal class together, so I think it really made us sit down and read the Bible together, and not just one of us, but reading the same thing at the same time, talking about the same discussion questions, made us grow in our faith together.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely helped us grow closer together through discussion about the Bible and everything. It also helped me, I know, grow closer to God and get that base understanding that helped me, even in our other Bible studies that we've done, kind of have that understanding and that background to kind of give my input and have more of a solid ground on what I can speak to. That kind of helped me, I feel like, be more productive and get more out of the other Bible studies that I've done.
How cool is it that on Elizabeth and Michael's first Sunday at Trinity, they heard about a class that they could plug into that for sure, just from hearing them talk, will have lifelong impact on them, both as individuals and as a couple. You know, that's part of what we do here as Trinity, is to make that possible for adults to dive deeper, to grow. And so I hope you'll plug in this season. You can go to the website to sign up for any of the things that we're offering starting this week. Also, please come and join us for the free spaghetti dinner that's part of the kickoff this Wednesday. That'll happen right here on side B of the worship space, and then classes immediately to follow. So look forward to seeing you as a part of that. Well, each week as a part of participating in the ministries of the church and in making those ministries possible, we bring offerings that God can use through what we have to share as a way of making a difference here on campus and around the community. Would you pray with me over those offerings today? God, we are grateful for all that you have entrusted to us and for the privilege of using a portion of that to be a part of your work through the church. thank you for learning and growing and teaching and classes and studies that help us form deeper relationships with you and one another. Now take what we offer today and continue to use it in ways that bring hope and transformation in the lives of all of us. Amen.
Good morning. This morning, Sunlight will be singing Count on Me, and this song describes the bond between the artist and his friend. They depend on each other for help in times of need. This is a great example of the optimal relationship that we should have with God and God should have with his people. God will always be there for us no matter the mistakes we make and no matter how many times we turn away from God. However, in the rush of today's life, we often lose faith in his love and the courage to spread it when we are down. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In this verse, God is saying he will never leave us, and we can count on him to give us courage and strength to love all of those around us. Count on you, baby.
Thank you, Sunlight. It is great to have you back in the choir loft on a weekly basis. Looking forward to the school year with you. And good to see everyone this morning. You all may know that we're in the middle of a series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? Steve started last week, and if you happen to not be here last week, you can go back and watch that on the website, and we'll go to the website and find it and watch it and kind of catch up. But as we talk about Won't You Be My Neighbor, last week Steve donned the Mr. Rogers sweater and canvas sneakers. Now, they don't look quite the same on me and wouldn't have quite the same impact, so I've got on my pink cardigan today. You know, as we think about Mr. Rogers, realized last week that some people have no clue who Mr. Rogers is. But Mr. Rogers had a daily children's television show for more than 30 years. And in that television show, he called the children, the audience, well, he didn't call them boys and girls, and he didn't call them ladies and gentlemen. He didn't call them acquaintances or even friends. He called them neighbors. He called us neighbors. Now, as an ordained Presbyterian minister, yes, Mr. Rogers was an ordained Presbyterian minister, perhaps that was something intentional so that we would be learning about the great commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said to the crowd to love the Lord your God with all that you are and to love your neighbor as yourself. So this morning, as we think about this series, we're going to look at what it means to be a neighbor, to love your neighbor, and how exactly we might do that. So I invite you to bow your heads and pray for me this morning and sharing this with you as I pray for you in this evening. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you may be aware that I can be a slave to my calendar. I like to have things planned out. I like to have them on my calendar because it at least gives me the illusion that I might have a little bit of control over my life. I put everything on the calendar, and perhaps you are the same way as well, or at least some of you. You know, if you're that type of person and you like to try to be in control of your time, you likely know what it feels like to be interrupted. Interruptions can feel like they are keeping us from what we are supposed to be doing and supposed to be accomplishing. But over the years, I have learned and am still learning that it's better to embrace those interruptions, because through those interruptions, God can use me to care for others, to be cared for by others in ways that are beyond what any kind of to-do list or calendar would ever allow. You know, Jesus modeled that for us as he embraced interruptions. And who are we to think that our schedule and our calendar and our time would be any more pressed than Jesus' life and ministry? His life was a ministry of interruptions. It seemed that everywhere he went, no matter what he was doing, he was constantly interrupted. One day he was teaching the crowds. He was teaching them about marriage and divorce. And the parents interrupted him by bringing the children to him because they wanted him to touch the children. Another time when he was on his way to Jericho, he was interrupted by Bartimaeus, a blind beggar who was crying out to Jesus for mercy. His life was a ministry of interruptions. In fact, he was interrupted so much that once even he had an interruption that was interrupted. Yes, one day he was teaching and he was interrupted by Jairus. Jairus was a leader in the synagogue, and he came to Jesus, and he begged him to quit his teaching and to come to his house because his 12-year-old daughter was dying. And so Jesus left and went toward Jairus' house, and as he went, the crowds were continuing to surround him and press in on him, and he felt someone touch him, and he felt the power go out of him. So his interruption to go to Jairus' house was interrupted again by a woman in need of healing. That story is our scripture reading for today. And so I invite you to read along with me as we read from that story. Now that story is found in three different Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you have your Bibles, the New Testament is about two-thirds of the way back in your Bible. And then the Gospels are the first four books. So turn to the third one of those, Luke, and the large numbers, 8, those are the chapter numbers, and the small numbers are the numbers at the beginning of most of the sentences. So this story about Jesus. A woman was there who had been bleeding for 12 years in that crowd pressing around him. She had spent her entire livelihood on doctors, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him, and she touched the hem of his and at once, her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. But when everyone denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds are surrounding you and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone from me." When the woman saw that she couldn't escape notice, she came trembling and fell before Jesus. In front of everyone, she explained why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. "Daughter, your faith has healed you," Jesus said. "Go in peace." The word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. So what we read in this story is that Jesus stopped to speak to someone who may not have even been seen by others. She had likely been a part of that community, a part of that neighborhood for many years, but she was, in essence, invisible to them. But Jesus, even though he was on his way to care for a dying child, stopped when he felt the power go out of him. The disciples tried to downplay this and move him along to take care of Jairus' daughter. But he insisted on stopping. He embraced this interruption of the interruption and celebrated that this woman's faith had made her well. You know, Jesus called us to love our neighbors, and we think about that in the broad sense of the word, and we think about our neighbors all around the world. But perhaps Jesus especially was calling us to love our actual neighbors, those right next door. And sometimes it's those right next door that we are the least likely to notice. We get to know our coworkers. We engage with other parents when we are watching our kids play sports or dance or drama. We get together with our friends and we socialize with them. But when we get home, we're tired after a long day, and we drive into the garage and close the door behind us. And then our tendency is to go out on the back patio and relax, or go out in our fenced-in backyard and watch the children play. For many of us, we simply don't have time to invest in our actual neighbors, even though they are the ones who live closest to us. We may even see them as interruptions in our busy schedules. If that's the case for us, then I would suggest that we are living life at an unrealistic pace. We may not have the open space that we need in our lives. We may need to re-examine our commitments and our priorities so that we can have the right kind of margins in our lives, so that we can live at a pace that allows us to be interrupted. if our lives have wider margins, then we might be able to stop and talk to a neighbor when we're out walking the dog. Or we might have time to go say hello to a neighbor who's trimming their bushes. C.S. Lewis said it this way: "The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life, the life that God is sending one day by day. What one calls real life is a phantom of one's own imagination." So what if we considered interruptions not as obstacles to our schedule and messing up our time and our calendar, but actually opportunities to embrace God's plan for us and the real life that God brings to us? "I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest." Last spring, a member of Trinity, I'll call her Priscilla, and you'll see why, she shared with me a story we've been doing from the steeple to the streets, and encouraging the congregation to engage people in the community in conversation and to be praying for them. And so she shared with me something that happened in her neighborhood. They had just recently moved into the neighborhood, and they were trying to get to know the neighbors. And the neighbors hadn't had the time to welcome them as they might have anticipated. And so they had a gathering over at their house and began to get to know some of their neighbors. But there was one neighbor who didn't come, and she was that neighbor. You know, that neighbor? She was the difficult one in the neighborhood that never seemed to be happy and always seemed to be complaining and was always reporting people to the homeowners association. She was that neighbor. So Priscilla was walking around her neighborhood and saw that neighbor out in the yard. And her immediate reaction was to want to turn around and go the other way. But instead, she decided that she would pray for this neighbor and she would engage this neighbor. So she walked up to her and she began a conversation and she said hello and she introduced herself and she complimented the neighbor on her landscape and her yard work. And they had a short conversation. She said when she approached and began to talk and introduced herself, that her neighbor almost looked shocked. And then Priscilla said the strangest thing. The next day, Priscilla was driving out of the neighborhood, and the neighbor was again in the yard, and the neighbor recognized her in the car and waved big and smiled. And Priscilla was amazed. Now, they still live in the neighborhood, and the neighbor still lives in the neighborhood. And Priscilla said, "You know, I don't know if we've changed her, but she has changed us and spurred us on to get more involved in our neighborhood. There is something in folks like this," she said, "and if we respond in kind, it just perpetuates the problems. So we have to be different." Priscilla is saying what the authors of the book, The Art of Neighboring, are saying. We don't love our neighbors only so that they will come to know Christ. We love our neighbors because we already know Christ and are followers of Christ. We may ultimately hope that our neighbors will come to know Christ, but that can't be our hidden motive. We are called to love our neighbors because we are followers of Jesus. So, what's the next step as we get to know our neighbors, as we attempt to move along that continuum that Steve talked about last week, from stranger to acquaintance to true neighbor and friend? Well, my recommendation is to take small steps. And you'd be surprised at what huge strides you might make. First of all, get to know their name. Steve said that last week. Now, you may think, "But I should know their name already. They've been my neighbor for 5 years, and I don't know their name." Well, well, that's okay. They may be thinking the exact same thing. So just say to them, you know, I know you really well, but I just can't remember your name. I'm not good with names. I'm Catherine. And then they'll introduce themselves as well. And then ask them the names of the people in their family. And then go inside and write it down so you won't forget. So the first step is simply to know their name. Or if they're new and you all are new neighbors, then just go up and say, hey, we waved to each other and we said hello, but I don't know your name. And then introduce yourself. And they will introduce themselves as well. Some other practical tips for you. How can you get to know your neighbors? The best thing you can do, get a dog or have a baby. Really? Now, for some of us, one or both of those things might not be very practical, but that is the best way to get to know your neighbors, because children and dogs are magnets for other people, and when you're walking around the neighborhood, you will definitely be stopped so that somebody can say hello to your dog or your baby. And when you're doing that, don't just say, oh, this is Teddy. Say, hey, I'm Catherine, and what's your name? And you will get to know them, just like Steve said last week. If you can't have a baby or buy a dog, then my second suggestion would be to move to the front yard. You know, so often we come in and we go immediately to the backyard. What about moving to the front yard and playing with your kids out front? Or setting up a couple of chairs and just enjoying time in your front yard and see who wanders by? When we lived in Bradenton, we lived on a cul-de-sac. And most of the people on the cul-de-sac had young kids. And you would be amazed at how well we got to know each other simply because we were all standing out in the cul-de-sac as our kids were riding their tricycles and learning to ride their bike and learning to shoot baskets. We got to know our neighbors. The third thing that you might do is deliver food to your neighbors. Everybody likes food, right? So at Christmas time, bake a loaf of bread or bake some cookies and deliver it to your neighbors. And not just at Christmas time, but at other times as well. Just to say, hey, I was making this and thought I would offer you some. And if you're not a baker, what about fresh produce? You know, I might be driving along and see a produce stand and see this flat of beautiful strawberries. We can't eat a whole flat of strawberries, but I'll buy a whole flat and then I'll take them and deliver pints to my neighbors and say, hey, I can't eat all these, and I couldn't resist, so just enjoy some of these strawberries. Just deliver food to them and begin to take a small step toward getting to know them. The fourth thing you might do something to help your neighbor out. Not necessarily when they're watching or even know that you're doing it, but what if they came home and instead of their trash can and recycling bins being out at the street, they were up by their garage. We had a neighbor in Bradenton who was a member of the congregation. He lived around the corner from us. And almost any time he was out mowing his lawn, he would just mow his neighbor's front lawn as well. It wasn't a big lawn. What if when you were mowing, you mowed your neighbor's too? Or what if when you were edging down the curb in front of your house, you just kept going and edged down your neighbor's curb as well? What an impact that will make. That friend of ours, his neighbor then started mowing his lawn and edging his lawn whenever he happened to be out there. You also then might invite them over to your house. Just invite them over to do something simple. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Invite them to bring a snack and watch the football game with you on Saturday. Anything where you can take the next step to get to know your neighbors. And then finally, once you've gotten to know several of your neighbors, then plan some kind of gathering or block party. Again, when we were in Bradenton, our neighbors decided to invite our neighbors decided to invite everybody over to their house for a cookout on Halloween. As I said, all of us had young kids, and they thought, well, wow, we have to eat early, so let's just all bring something. We'll eat together in the driveway, and then one or both parents can go and take off with the kids while the others watch the home front. It was a great gathering. And 18 years later, we were still getting together and sharing a meal and everybody bringing something on Halloween. Those of us who had little ones at the time didn't have little ones years later, and a new batch had moved in with some small children. But we continued to do that. And we developed relationships with our neighbors. You know, as I said, as we got to know our neighbors in our neighborhood, over the years, at least half of our neighbors started coming to the church that we were serving. That was not our hidden motive, but it just turned out that way. Because when you get to know your neighbors and care for them and they care for you, and over time you truly become neighbors as Jesus commanded, they might see something in you that they want in their life. And as I've said before, living a questionable life will mean that others will wonder why it is that you live the way you do and give you an opportunity to share that. So let me go back to Priscilla. As Priscilla was getting to know her neighbors, because of that neighbor, she got to know the woman who lived right next door to that neighbor. And as she got to know her better and better, that woman asked her, "Do you go to church?" And she said, "Yeah, I do. Why do you ask?" And she said, "Well, there's just something about you." And she asked, Priscilla asked the neighbor, "Do you go to church?" And she said, "Well, no. My husband died several years ago, and I just haven't been able to go by myself." And so Priscilla said, "Well, hey, why don't you come with me to Trinity?" We don't love our neighbors with some hidden motive so that they will come to know Christ. We love our neighbors because we already know Christ. And we are followers of Christ and want to live into the commandment that He gave to us, to love our neighbors as ourselves. So I invite you to reach out to your neighbors, to care for your neighbors, to get to know your neighbors, so that they truly can become neighbors. Because I guarantee you, somebody in your neighborhood is just waiting and wondering, "Won't you be my neighbor?" Let's pray together. Precious God, you have called us. You told us the greatest commandment is God with all that we have, with our heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Help us, O God, to love our actual neighbors, to love the people that are right next door. Give us the courage to take one baby step and reach out to them. And then help us to embody your love as we continue to get to know them and care for them and be cared for by them. Oh God, we are grateful. We are grateful for the opportunity to live out our faith and to be followers of Jesus Christ. So by your strength, make us bold and empower us to show your love to the people right next door. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
When Jesus and the disciples disciples gathered together in the upper room for the Last Supper, they gathered for a meal that had been on the calendar for all faithful Jews, for that matter, the Passover. The Passover Seder is a rich tradition of the Jewish faith. It has a specific form to it, followed in the same way by all who observe this meal. This night, Jesus departed from the expected form to provide a final teaching to the disciples. And this led to some interruptions. For example, Jesus was supposed to be leading them in the ceremonial hand washing, but instead he took his towel and basin and kneeled to wash their feet. To which Peter exclaimed, "No, Lord, you will not wash my feet." And Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part of me." You see, Jesus was extending an invitation to the disciples to experience anew, to see anew the radical hospitality, the radical grace and love of God, and that they are to go into the world and offer that same hospitality, that same welcome, that same love, that same grace. And so it is for us. Each Sunday, worship is on our calendar. Each Sunday, we gather around this table, but the variable is, once we've received God's grace, and we leave this place, what do we do with it? And so we remember that night when Jesus took bread, gave thanks to his Father in heaven, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and again gave thanks to his Father in heaven and then offered the cup to the disciples saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we pray, Almighty God, you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us, I'd like to invite those who are helping us serve communion this morning to please come and make the stations ready. And as they are doing that, let me just tell you that, as I alluded to just now, in the United Methodist Church, the communion table is an open table. Every one of us are welcome to come and receive the grace that God has for us today. We serve communion by way of intinction, which means as you come forward, we'll place a piece of bread into your open hands, and then you're invited to dip the bread into the cup to receive both elements together. If gluten-free is a need that you have, we have stations here on either side at the front. You just let us know when you come forward. We'd be happy to serve that to you. The stations are in front of each of the sections. We ask that you would leave your row to the left, beginning with the front rows and working our way back. But leave your row to the left and return to the right. You're also welcome to come and to kneel here at the altar or to return to your seats and pray in your heart, sing with the band. But this time is for you. The table is set. All are welcome. Please come.
For a drink from the well, Jesus is calling. The Father's arms are open wide.
Gracious God, we thank you for this holy meal with which you have nourished us, and we pray that we rise with the courage and the strength to go out into the world, letting them know about the treasure we have found. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's stand together and sing our last song. Come thou fount, come thou king.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me song, melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy.
As you go out, may you be blessed. May you be a blessed to be a blessing of others. Go out and love your neighbor, not so that they will come to know Christ, but because you are.